Good morning, pastors. Welcome. I originally, when Pastor Sal called me in the office and discussed that he was to be in prayer and I was to be about being a deacon, and all that went through my mind was, Rex Folk is a deacon, and this is a man I highly respect. And the only thought as I went through the prayer as how honored I was to be asked and what a privilege it would be to serve in that capacity at Hope Baptist Church, I didn't know if a concealed carry came along with it. So I knew I could take on that servant attitude of Brother Rex, but I didn't know if he... Did I have to carry the gun and the concealed carry? I was hoping it came along with it. It's been a few years and I still haven't got that. But I do work at the Toledo Assembly Complex where we build Jeep Wranglers and Jeep Cherokees. And I started off in lesser capacities, and I have the privilege to be in a job they title training manager. And on the actual sheet that says is my job, it adds people development. So I am privileged to be able to take many of the foundational principles we so easily exhibit here in our church and in our faith, and whether it's through unintentional, indirect, or brainwashing, I'm able to, in every way, create in Chrysler's mind the best operator through Christian principles. I take that as a huge opportunity. It's a lot of flexibility they allow for me to tell and discuss any illustration, any analogy, to drive home a point they want their people to learn. And it's traditionally coming back to what the Bible teaches in Christianity. They sometimes know it, and they get slightly offended, but the flexibility and the position they're at in having to listen to me, I get away with a lot. I won't take too much time. I'll be somewhat drawn out in the beginning. I'll go fast through the rest, but a few years ago, I had the opportunity for our open house where 10,000 people attend for Pastor John to come and introduce them to union stewards and committee men and basically hundreds of people in the plant as my pastor, as my assistant pastor. At that time, I left off assistant, so it would have just that much better of an effect that I was walking my pastor through the Jeep facility. He got to witness and discuss for 45 minutes with the plant manager, who's now the vice president for all of manufacturing in North America. And it was a good conversation. I remember thinking, I can't believe Pastor John's talking to my plant manager in a way that you would very appreciate, that I very appreciated to have a real good spiritual conversation with a man at that level in our organization. So moving on, I have been a member at Hope Baptist Church since 2001, and in the thought of what brought me here, it was better to think about what had me stay here, and I would think that as a new Christian looking for a church and not knowing where to land, not having many people to guide me, as my wife and I got saved a little before we joined here, I opened the telephone book up, and every hour lunch that I was being unpaid for, I would call and ask 9 questions that I believed were tenets of Christianity to every single church in Northwest Ohio. This church answered, and other church answered, what I at the time felt was the right answers, according to my knowledge of the Bible, and the vast majority did not. The vast majority was very illogical. They contradicted each other in some of the questions that I doubled up on. Several pastors said, I'm real busy right now, but I'll give you to our church secretary, and she ran through the answers. I appreciate Mrs. Sowell and Mrs. Marshall and Mrs. King in the office, but that didn't happen when I called Hope Baptist Church. And as if you were looking for a church like I was, it wasn't necessarily what brought you. But once you walk in this church as a new Christian, it's what keeps you, and that's that spirit. It's that word, that book that's preached and it speaks to you. And I don't think it was as much about how did I get here? Did a friend recommend me? Did they answer right when I called? It was what kept me. And it's been a long journey. It's been 15 years. At the time we had, my wife and I, 0 kids. Now we have 6. My wife and I didn't go to Sunday school. We didn't go to any church activities. We didn't go to a worship service until after we got saved, late in life here, in our early 20s. My children, all 6, have never missed and known not going to Sunday school. They've never not known it's church time, and they've never not known a point in their life that church activities were the focal point of everything we do. And it's a total 180. It's a blessing. To look across the things my kids say, and I'm skewed, right? I think what's in their head is what was in my head when I was their age. And it's such a blessing to realize that's not their intent. That's not what's behind it. And I thank Pastor Sowell and the assistants and the staff and other deacons and a church that's stuck to the book. And it's a haven in Toledo. I don't know where else I would have went. I don't know if even the second church that when I asked those questions that a naive Christian answered even close. And I know over 15 years, there's so much more that's been learned and that's correct and being done right at this church. So the things that I'm specifically involved in have changed over the years as the need has arisen or as staff moves. I find myself popped into another area, grateful to just be able to serve. And the long time spent in the singles aged me. As Pastor John was losing hair, as I was supporting him and holding his arms up, I was gaining weight and getting fatty liver. That's a disease. That's something you can be diagnosed with. So the singles are a tough group. In the current ministry of Sunday school, I count it a privilege to work and train the teachers. That's exactly what I do at Chrysler. I train teachers and trainers to perpetuate Chrysler's mentality and work ethic. And here at church, I am in the position to be able to do that with teachers so they can edify and encourage and teach students. The few other things is the I bundle it all together, and it's not much. Someone has to do it. But if we have an activity where food is served or candy's dispersed or large groups are together, I enjoy making it more efficient and effective. So what might take an hour can take 15 with a little bit of assembly line thinking. Right? Let's get it done. Let's move orderly. Let's be efficient and effective. And the whole reason isn't just to get you done. But when you're in a line, you're not fellowshipping. You're not in your seats with five other pastors. And we do real well over the years, and I've been able to take a part in it to get veterans in and out so they can sit down and enjoy a steak and hear and be blessed, opposed to be waiting in a line with their crutches and wheelchairs, and so on and so forth with different activities. And I'm honored to be able to play a part in making things like that a little more effective. And then if I look at things I've learned, it's a couple things in ministry and life that I'll mention today. There's a lot we all could speak of. But specifically, the mentality of our pastor is very, very humble when he's being recognized or rewarded or appreciated. And I see that in many of you as I've interacted. And I've learned that as much as when people say, thank you, good job, and you did a great job, to sort of reduce that or to minimize that as much as possible. I'm not saying I have my mind wrapped around why, but I know that Pastor Sowles lasted this period of time while other men of God have, for whatever reason, sin crept in. And I try to attach those two, and I wonder if when I, 10 years ago, saw him here in this gym and said, the service was great, the church activities that happen here are a blessing, and it's wonderful all that we do as a church, that he reacts and says, you know, depending on where you're at in your Bible, you get a lot out of a message. God gives it to me, and some people hear it, some people don't. I'm just feeding folks. If when I say the church activity was great, he says, we got tons of good servants and helpers at this church. And when he says then that activity, when I say it's creative, it was great, it was awesome, he says it's good to have two assistants that are digging in and creating a vision and thinking about how to do it next. It takes that pressure off of me. If I was him, I would have said, stayed up all night writing that sermon. I would have said, God gave me a clear message, right? God spoke to me. It wasn't all. I would have went all about me and God. I would have said, yeah, the people of this church are pretty good, but without me leading them, they would be like lost sheep. And never, never would I consider moving the appreciation towards two other assistants, but that's consistently what Pastor Sal does. And it's a humbling way to show and receive, I guess, the appreciation, the applaud you can get. Now, the opposite thing I learned is as much as I want to be like that, I have to be towards other people the opposite. So I have to applaud and say thank you and I appreciate you and edify and encourage whatever ministry or people I interact with. It's easy to say that I won't do because I don't need it or I might go to my head. And it's a balance that I've learned, that I need to humbly receive it through Pastor Sal's example, but I need to throw it and applaud it on people. It's an interesting balance. A couple things that as pastors you could do for your deacons. One would be to be a little forthright every once in a while and say, where are you at your scripture reading? Where are you in your prayer life? Where are you in your devotionals? Don't assume. Be a little blunt every once in a while, maybe one-on-one in a crowd at a deacon's meeting. Maybe there's opportunity in the Word of God and in complimentary books and readings that you could hand them and give them and email them. And that little tag, I'm just, you know, wanting you to be the best you can be. I'm trying to be a blessing to you to help your ministry. And then if there's an opportunity to let them apply it first, and you can nurture that, when a person in a position of ministry is teaching and speaking, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We learn the knowledge, and we tell other people how to apply the knowledge, but we haven't applied it ourselves. And deacons can get a little carried away with that at times, because maybe they're asked questions and concerns. And it's, I know this, and Oscar's best to ask because he lived it, experienced it, and applied it. I don't need to answer every question, right? But I should be pushed and nourished to, if that's something I've learned out of Scripture or out of the book you've given me to read, I should have a time where I actually use it before I'm giving advice. And I think the person hearing would appreciate much more if I say, well, this is what me and my kids did for this activity. When my teenage daughter asked me this, I said this. And there was a book I read, but I actually used that in real life. And it could go a long ways. Thank you for the time, Pastor Saul, to be able to speak. I count it an honor to be among these men, so I will have Rex come up next. Thank you.
My name's Rex Ford. I've been in Hope Baptist Church for 30-plus years. I give up counting, but it's always been a blessing to be here. And I got all these notes here. I'm getting old, so if I don't write it down, I forget it. So, I started coming to Hope Baptist Church as a result of the radio broadcast that Hope Baptist Church sponsored on the radio for 15 minutes. Started out with a 15-minute radio broadcast. And I got saved over 40 years ago on March 28, 1976, in a town about 50 miles south here. Brother Matt Marshall's down there pastoring now in Findlay. But the Lord worked through circumstances, witnesses from several different people over a period of a couple of years, and a pastor down there that cared for souls and people that were praying for me. And I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. And several years later in the church down there, they offered me a job as a building superintendent. And I worked taking care of the buildings and grounds for the church and the Christian school there for about 8 years. And over the period of that time, things just weren't going so good with the way that the pastor believed the Bible. And we had a small group of men in the church that were King James Bible believers, and I waffled back and forth on that thing for a little bit, trying to figure out, where I stood on that. And several good men in the church were Bible believers, and it wasn't long they were kind of kicked out of the church or left over a period of time. And there were a few of us that kept believing the book and staying by the stuff. And anyway, long story short, somebody mentioned to me, have you heard Pastor Rick Saul from Toledo on the radio? He's a Bible believer. And I said, no. So I would go over and unlock the church for Sunday school every Sunday morning and go out and sit in my car at 9 o'clock and listen to Pastor Saul on the radio broadcast for 15 minutes. And before long, we started coming up here and checking the church out. And when we first came into a church of about 30 or 40 people that were singing like they loved the Lord. And we were in a church of 400 or 500 people probably, and nobody sang like that. And so through that whole transition there, I quit my job there at the church and went back to work in a factory as a maintenance mechanic. Sold my home in Findlay and moved a little bit closer to Toledo. Drove back and forth for a year and a half to the church, about 45-minute drive with my family to attend church here. Came up on Sundays, spent the day either taking the mattress off the nursery beds and taking a nap on the floor, or somebody would have us over to their home and we'd fellowship with them during the day. And we did that for a year and a half before God saw fit to move me up here. we enjoyed the preaching. We enjoyed the powerful singing and the way the people loved the Lord, and decided this was a move that we needed to make. And I started working for a plumber up here in Toledo. It was a kind of a odd situation. Our sewer backed up at the church over on Glendale, and pastor just got in the book and called the guy, and the guy ended up being a backslidden Christian and started coming to church, and I went to work for him, and it didn't work out very well at the time because he was still a backslidden Christian. But anyway, I went to work for another gentleman, worked for him for 8 years, and then I started my own business in plumbing and sewer and drain cleaning here in Toledo. My wife, it's just a mom-and-pop business, but we've been paying our bills for the last 20-plus years and being able to help support missions, and it's still going on today. But my wife and I started a church, our junior church here. It was our first ministry that we were asked to work in, and it was kind of a weird thing. We had a building over on Glendale that we had worked to get ready. It was all dilapidated and stuff when we bought it, and we worked on it and prayed about it, and God gave us a good service, the first service. We had seating in a room for a couple hundred people, and it was packed out the first Sunday we had services there as a result of just God's people praying in the church and God working. And pastor came to me that morning and said, take these kids and go do something with them. Because we did not have room in there for everything. So Brother Lon Taylor was our assistant pastor at the time, and I went down and we started doing something with the kids, and Lon came down and preached, and that kind of started our junior church ministry. And we worked at that for a good number of years, and pastor asked me to move on up and take the young married couples. And when I took the young married couples, I don't know how long it was between the time periods. Time goes so fast anymore. But some of the very people that I had in junior church were now married and were in my young married couples class. So that was a blessing to be able to minister to them again at a little bit older age and help them out in their life through there. It was a blessing to see our young people stay in the church and serving God and having a desire to raise their families up in the same church. What we do today in the ministry here is I help out with maintenance around here and fixing things and helping out with the maintenance around the church. Our veterans dinner that Jeff spoke about, he kind of got the thing going where we could serve 400 to 500 veterans in 15 minutes, steak dinner. I'm talking serving them, not having them going through a line. We serve them. And so we do that every year. I'm kind of in charge of that, getting everybody around. Jeff kind of perfected it for us to be able to do that in such a short time. But we do that every year, and we've had some good results with that ministry, seen some people saved. And I'm also the safety and security team director. We're trying to get our safety and security team around and take care of some things, as Pastor just talked about a little bit ago. Some of the men were making reference to me. I am also an NRA pistol instructor, so that's why they were talking about all the concealed carry and stuff. So, but really, the preaching at Hope Baptist Church over the 30-plus years has always been consistent. And I came up here because I knew this was a pastor that believed the book. And he still does. He still preaches the Word of God with power. And I know that that is what's kept this church going. And not only does he just preach the Word of God, but he lives it. And again, Jeff talked a little bit about that, but he's teaching his people here to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ every day and have a personal devotion time, a personal Bible reading time, and then let God work in people's hearts, and it's been successful. In Marcus Luttrell's book, The Service, A Navy SEAL at War, when he was nearing the end of his career as an operational shooter, he was being encouraged by his superiors to step down and stay inside the wire instead of going out into combat all the time because of he'd been pretty busted up. Some of you probably read the book Lone Survivor and know the story there, but he just was 31 years old and couldn't function as he once did. And they wanted him to take a more of a supervisory position and slow down a little bit and do more of a supporting and planning role. And he said in this book on page 179, our duty is to serve the mission. And if we're not doing that, then we have no right to call what we do service. Our job is to serve God in whatever position that He has led us to, whether it be a pastor or layman. And I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. I've been available to help where needed. And God has given me a good life, good Christian life. And I've enjoyed that through the years, being able to serve Him here. And as the Word of God is preached with power from God, His people will be open to what God wants them to do. A verse in 2 Timothy 4, and of course you guys have all preached this, but preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And I think if pastors would just preach the word, people are still hungry for the word of God, even though, you know, we keep hearing over and over from the mega church group that people don't want to hear preaching anymore. There's still a bunch of people out there that want to hear preaching, that need preaching. So my encouragement to pastors today here would be don't quit preaching the Word of God. And again, I would like to say our duty is to serve the mission. And if we're not doing that, then we have no right to call what we do service. Thanks.
Just because I'm the last doesn't mean I'm the oldest. And they normally put the minorities towards the end. So, yes. So there you have it. Amen. Amen. Viva la revolución! So I'm my parents are from Cuba, so if I get a little Castro-ish, I'm the defiant deacon, if you will, as a result of that. So my name is Oscar Roque, and I was saved in September of 1978. The title on the business card is Vice President of International Business for a company here called Container Graphics. We make printing plates and cutting dies for the corrugated packaging industry. So give me a call if you want any boxes about that. Okay. I also take care of plant engineering for them as well, because of an engineering background. But what brought me to Hope Baptist Church? Actually, my family grew up in Worcester, Ohio, Central Ohio, close to Massillon. Amen. We came up here to, I came up here to take a job with Container Graphics, and we started going to another independent fundamental Baptist church here in Toledo. The pastor of that church got called to the mission field in Mexico, and as a result, we got a new pastor in, and that pastor took a detour off of 475 or something. I don't know where he went, but it wasn't the King James Bible that we were accustomed to. So we went ahead and started looking around, did the analytical thing, took a, you know, a map and a compass and started to draw a radius and started to visit churches. And we came here to Hope. Actually, my oldest son, Stephen, had just started coming here, I believe, just before we came to visit. I think it was because a gal that he liked was here. But anyway, that's another story. But we came here, and obviously as soon as we visited the first time, we fell in love with the church. Again, as Jeff and Rex have mentioned before, the preaching, the music, etc., it's definitely a unique situation that you can't find just anywhere. So, we love it here. Been here 12 years, and I, as Pastor Sal mentioned, I'm the choir director, also lead congregational music in the adult Sunday school, privileged to have my children here, all of them, adults, married, most of them with children, involved in choir, music ministries, Sunday school, nursery, etc. So that's a huge blessing for any man, any father. A couple things that I personally have learned since being here at the church. Number one is a deeper understanding of the concept of faith promise missions giving. Okay, that's a really big deal. Something that we were just introduced to when we came here to Toledo at the previous church, and didn't get a whole lot of education at that time on faith promise giving, but this Pastor Sal is just, you know, right down the center of the road on this, and so that really opened our eyes to faith promise giving. Obviously, that then transfers to greater faith in other areas of your life and your ministry as well. So that's probably number one. Another obvious increase in knowledge is of the Word of God. Okay, Pastor is an outstanding expositor and teacher of the Word. So as a result, you know, you just continue to grow on top of what you've already learned in from previous ministries. And so it's been just an outstanding blessing. Obviously, having my children here involved in all of the different ministries, and some of them growing up through Pastor Dave's teen class and now in Pastor John's young marrieds class, it's been a blessing to see the growth that they have as a result of the ministry that Pastor Sal started and now has imparted to his assistant pastors here, Pastor Dave and Pastor John. What would I tell a pastor as far as development of the men in their church? You know, to me, I find that as a very, I'm thinking in Spanish here, so forgive me. In Spanish, it would be, es una idea muy clave, algo que es importante que necesita saber. But, amen. Viva la revolución de nuevo. That's why they put the pulpit right close to the edge, because if I start to get excited, it'll go right over. But really, really, pastors, spend quality time with the men in your church, okay? By quality time, we're talking men's prayer breakfast. We're talking men's retreat. Go fishing a Saturday morning. You know, go to the local shooting range. Spend quality time with the men in your church. You know, by doing that, you're actually going to become familiar with the strengths and weaknesses of these fellows. You're going to understand what skill sets they have. All right, accountants, mechanics, etc., talents that can be used in the church, all right? So that's ultimately important. And then you can also tailor some Bible teaching to the weaknesses that these men have and build them up. Okay, the future of the church, in my opinion, is strong men in the church. And them leading their families and moving forward. And, you know, as Jeff said earlier, you know, his kids don't know anything but coming to church on Sunday. And so you instill that in the men of the church, and that will have a trickle-down effect. And you will see that 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Whether you're developing these men for specific offices, whether it's a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, whatever it may be, it's important for you to get close to those men. You know, I look at it a bit as a farmer. You invest, you cultivate, you develop, and you reap, okay? And you hold these men accountable. Spend time with the men that want to spend time with you. As you invest time in a group of men, that group eventually will start to whittle down a little bit, and you're going to have a core group of guys, and those are the guys that are going to be the leaders in the church. And those are the guys that you want to come alongside and develop and minister to, and that will eventually be the deacons and the trustees and just the future of the church right there. I think that's probably about it, unless you have questions regarding Cuba. And then I can take care of that, okay? Certainly a blessing to be here. Appreciate you men coming and being part of these next 3 days. Thank you very much.
Gives you a little insight, maybe, into what a pastor needs, I hope. Because I say again, these are men that are not just superficial. What you see, what you hear from them today goes all the way to the heart. I can assure you that. And a ministry is not about one person. You know, it's all for one person, and that's the Lord. But a ministry is about a bunch of people working together. And just because one is denoted as the pastor doesn't make him the best or the top guy on the totem pole. It just makes him one of the group that God says, okay, you go.